Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The 23rd Psalm is probably the most well-known psalm of the Bible. Even though it occupies only a small space in the Bible, what a great place it holds in human hearts. It has strengthened many hearts and life, and braced them when they came to the river of death. Today I want to first read the psalm, and then I want to talk about some lessons that we can learn from it. The psalmist is David, and he wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In this psalm, the psalmist makes the wonderful claim, "I shall not want." You know, others may find their lives filled with cares and anxieties. They may find every day filled with need. But David says, "I shall not want." How was he able to make such a bold claim? Well, it was due to the fact that he could first make another great claim, "The Lord is my shepherd." When one makes the Lord his shepherd, he then can boldly say, "I shall not want." The story is told of a famous orator who went from town to town, enthralling crowds with his magnificent speaking skills. Before an audience in one town, he boasted that anyone could request that he read any piece of literature, and no one could give a better rendering than he. Someone requested that he read the 23rd Psalm. He immediately gave such a beautiful rendition of that well-known psalm that he was given an enthusiastic round of applause. However, from the back of the auditorium, an old man rose from his seat and walked down the aisle to the lectern. There he read the 23rd Psalm in quiet, sincere tones. When he was finished, a reverent silence filled the hall, and tears were streaming down the faces of many. Afterwards, when the orator was asked how to account for the difference in reception to the two readings of the psalm, he said, "I knew the shepherd's psalm, but the old gentleman knew the shepherd." The metaphor of shepherd is used in both the Old and New Testament scriptures to illustrate the relationship of the Lord to his people. As a shepherd leads his sheep to pasture and protects them and cares for them, so the Lord cares for his sheep. The Christian's relationship to Jesus is like that of a sheep to his shepherd. Jesus said in John 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Also in verse 14, he said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." And then in verse 27, he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Those who hear the words of Jesus and follow him are his sheep. These are Christians, and he cares for them. They're the ones that know the Lord and can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I shall not want. What a wonderful statement. I shall not want for contentment and inner serenity of mind. The psalmist says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The picture is that of a sheep that, having eaten, lies down to a restful repose. "Since the Lord is my shepherd, I find the cravings of my soul fully satisfied." Augustine said, "God made us for himself, and our souls are restless until we find rest in him." End of quote. And I think that's right. All men have a hunger for God. but so many do not realize what they're hungering for. The multitudes who are rushing here and there in a ceaseless search present a picture of hungering humanity that does not know for what it hungers. It is only in God that our hungers are fully satisfied. I shall not want for encouragement. The psalmist says, He restores my soul. When my soul is weak from sorrow, He causes life to return. When my heart is weary, He refreshes me. When I sin, He pardons me. You know, David knew this from experience. You remember David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. God sent His prophet Nathan to David, and David acknowledged his sin and repented. In another psalm, Psalm 51, David pours out his heart in penitence and a prayer for forgiveness. He says, Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Well, God did forgive David and revive his heart. Now, I don't know if the 23rd Psalm was written after David committed this sin and found forgiveness, but this is an example of the shepherd restoring one's soul. Today, when we who are sinners turn to God and meet the conditions of salvation, God forgives. God is faithful and just to forgive, John says in 1 John 1 and verse 9. Yes, He restores my soul. I shall not want for proper guidance and direction. Again, the psalmist says, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You know, man needs help in directing the course of his life. We need to all understand what Jeremiah understood. He said, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. When a man is left to direct his own steps in life, he makes a mess of his life. You see, we need God's guidance, and He has provided that for us in His Word, the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now notice, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yes, He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I shall not want for consolation in times of trouble. The psalmist says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, the journey of life does not always take us along smooth paths and easy to travel roads. The roads change at times to deep valleys of tears and gloom. But the shepherd never deserts his sheep in the midst of such dangers. The dying Christian is not frantic. He meets death calmly and unafraid. You know, a child in its mother's arms on a storm-tossed vessel is not frightened like the other passengers. It is enough that the mother is there. It should likewise be enough for the child of God that in death God will be with him, and His rod and staff, which are signs of His gracious care and sovereignty, will comfort and protect him. It is encouraging that no matter what our circumstances in life are, we can say, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is your heart today filled with anxieties and cares? Do you feel within yourself a restlessness and a longing that have as yet been unsatisfied? Is your life filled with a void? Or can you say with the psalmist, I shall not want? How encouraging to know that we can say this with the psalmist. Yes, this faith can be ours. We need never to want for contentment, encouragement, consolation, guidance, and hope. But it only comes to those who truly can say, The Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Now I need to mention the statement, The Lord is my shepherd, is personal. It is not claiming the Lord as the shepherd of my children, or of my parents, or of my wife. It is claiming Him for my very own. Is He your shepherd? And the statement is also in the present tense. The Lord is my shepherd. There are those who can say, the Lord was my shepherd in a wonderful yesterday, but not now. There are those who will say that the Lord will be their shepherd in some indefinite tomorrow, a tomorrow that may never come. But the psalmist says that the Lord is his shepherd now. That is the reason he could say, I shall not want. Is the Lord your shepherd today? If he is not, he can be. And being your shepherd, he will help you through the days and years to come so that you can truly say, I shall not want. Well, how does one make the Lord his shepherd? Well, he makes the Lord his shepherd by coming to Jesus, hearing his voice, and following him. Remember we read earlier in John 10, verse 27, Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Well, how does one come to Jesus? Well, he comes to Jesus first by believing in him, believing that he is whom he claimed to be, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. But faith only will not make Jesus his shepherd. He must also repent of sin and follow Jesus. In John chapter 12, we read of some Jewish rulers who believed in Jesus, but they did not confess him, because they were afraid of being cast out of the synagogue. The passage says that they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. They believed, but they did not become Jesus' sheep because they did not follow him. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16, verse 24, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For one to make Jesus his shepherd, he must not only believe in him, but repent of his sins and commit his life to following Jesus in all things. He must also confess his faith in Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And he must also be baptized, that is, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the remission of his sins. After commanding the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation, Jesus said, He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, verse 16. Peter, the apostle of Christ, said to the Jews who wanted to know what to do, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38. And so baptism is essential if one is to enter into the sheepfold of Jesus, the great shepherd. And if this one will continually hear the shepherd's voice and follow him, he then can truly say, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Our time is gone for today, and we thank you for listening. But before we close, we want to invite you to check out our website. On this website, you're able to hear sermons on a variety of Bible topics, and you're also able to hear previous Bible Talk radio broadcasts, as well as download transcripts of our Bible Talk programs. The web address is sjchurchofchrist.com. That's sjchurchofchrist.com. Thank you for listening, and join us next week for Bible Talk.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You are invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at this same time for Bible Talk.